Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode number 62. Sam is your podcast pup, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Nothing too much. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. Just recording. Nate, doing all right?
Just hanging out. Having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, it is good that we are here. I know that I say that often, but I think we all need tonight.
Never heard you say that.
Never, ever, never.
Nope.
Where's
That's
here?
That's a new one.
Where's here? Here in the mothership.
The Mako Mothership.
Mako Podcast Mothership.
And we are glad the Creepies are joining us once again.
So glad.
For episode number 62. Awesome. You guys having an okay week? Doing all right?
Mine's going good.
Going good? Yeah. Going great?
It's great. I'm going with that, yes.
Okay.
Stamp it. Mark it.
Nate?
Yeah.
Good.
It's good. Yeah.
Good. Minus two.
Can't complain.
It's hot. I won't complain.
It is hot,
that,
and I
yes, very humid. Hot.
I gave in and turned on the air condition, which I'm usually June 1st, but I gave in. So
hot toddy,
and it's not because of my wife or kids; it's because of our pups.
Pups,
when they're hot, I take care of them.
So now you're cold.
Fenway and Maggie's looking at me like, "Please, please, Daddy." I'm like, "Okay."
You're right. Cold toddy now.
Cold toddy. Yeah.
Cold toddy.
My daughter will be very happy, and my wife. When I text her, I said, "Hey, I turned the AC on." She goes, "Oh, did you really?" I did.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I control the thermostat. Darn right. So.
That's kind of you.
Yeah. It was 80 in our house.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we were talking about before the show, like our upstairs, whatever it is down, like if it's hot, if it's 80 downstairs, it's going to be 90, 95 upstairs. And yeah, it's still going to be that.
Yeah.
But.
Don't invite me over. I don't want any of that.
No, and I want to go to your upstairs.
Don't go upstairs.
Well, it's cooler than your upstairs.
Yeah. No, but anyway, we got the AC on.
You're all invited to my house.
Been
How
hot,
about
though.
That?
It's been
I got an Arctic cold. It's got a little guy with a coat on going like this. That's what my temperature set at.
Bragger.
Exactly. The kids all, and Jenna has a heating blanket, and the kids all put blankets on. They're like, "We're cold." I'm like, "Be quiet. I got to sleep." Hush up.
That's enough of your lip.
Yeah. I'm like the Santa Claus of cold. I'm just like doling out the cold over here. Come to my house. Come on.
Call you the Iceman.
Jenna's mom hates it. She's so like cold-blooded, and I don't take that the wrong way. But she comes over.
She's a cold-blooded like, killer.
She's like, "What's the temperature?" And I was like, "You know it's going to be a solid cold. 67 over here."
Amy's mom freezes. She like in the wintertime, she has it like at 62.
Yeah.
I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Saving money.
Yeah, she it's freezing. I'm like, "Holy cow." Go over there and just still have my coat on and my stocking hat and winter gloves. And you know, it's 20 outside and it's...
Oh, yeah.
She don't know, it's 60. She wants it 60 to 62. So and I'm cranking it up to like 70. So I think actually we keep it at 68. But
That's where we keep ours, 68.
We are covering the weather quite well.
We are. We haven't done that in a while.
We haven't, no.
You know why? Because it's...
Aches, pains, weather, family. That's our checklist, right?
This is kind of the week that it really changed to...
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of the summer, early summer.
It is.
90 degrees, people.
Yeah, right. Well, and then next week it's supposed to be more
spring. One week of spring,
then
summer.
But next week they said it should go back to more springish.
I saw some 70s in there.
Yeah,
74,
so we'll
72.
See.
Yeah, we'll see. But I'm a warm weather guy. I like.
Yeah,
I,
no, I'm not complaining at all.
This is my type of.
I want to be able to jump
my time of year.
Jump into a pool, and that'll make me happy.
There you go. But yeah, we're glad that the Creepies can join us once again. I have my Todd's Tat Stat. Of
you
the
named
show.
It.
I did.
How dare you?
And why do you think I named it that?
Well, because you're all tatted up, right?
That's right.
I don't get it.
Nate, see what it is.
Hot toddy is all tatted up.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Todd's Tat Stat.
I cannot wait.
I can tell you're on the edge of your seat.
He's not. He's relaxed.
Sam, you ready, buddy? Okay. The average person
He's out.
Could fill as many as 23 2-liter bottles with the amount of saliva they produce in a month.
Wow.
That's a lot of spit.
That's a lot of spit, yeah.
Furthermore,
So we shouldn't be thirsty at all.
That's right. Furthermore, according to a 2009 study published in the Journal of Medicine and Life, the normal human's daily production of saliva ranges from 0.5 to 1.5 liters.
Wow.
That works out to your salivary glands producing as much as 46.5 liters of slobber a month.
Wow. That's amazing.
There you go.
It's also got healing qualities, slobbering. Right? It's supposed to be healing.
Yeah. I'm going
to
start collecting mine, see if it's true.
I think it's supposed to be healing.
Get on that and report back to us in a month. What'd you say it has healing
capabilities? I don't know.
Healing capabilities.
I've always heard that with dogs. Like if you had a cut or whatever, let the dog lick it.
Well, I have heard that. Animal kingdom, bears and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. You're like, hold on, I got to lick my cut.
I don't like cats licking me, though.
I don't
know. It's like sandpaper.
Yeah, Sean licks his dogs.
I always say, it's a little different than rub some dirt on it, right? Rub some spit on it.
Yeah.
Come here, kitty.
So there you go.
I'm going to say it's got healing qualities, and there you go. That's where we're going to end it on that.
You know, I might have to do a mini on that.
Sean's made up stat.
Sean's made up stat of the show.
Google that and tell me how wrong I am.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my Todd's stat of the show. Now, Sean, I'm turning it back to you.
Okay. What do we got? I've got the first part of the announcements. So the first thing I want to tell all of us. Yeah, right.
You want to tell us? Or
I want to tell. I don't know. That's how it's written. Follow us. Not really. I'm just kidding.
Walk off edge of bridge.
Okay,
I said it.
Darn it. You did another Anchorman to me.
Sean.
Sean is a monkey's uncle. We'd like you to follow us, not in the creepy way. Well, it's kind of creepy, but on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and now Twitter. So Twitter is our newest platform,
and we like it quite a bit.
Yeah,
well, it was like 40 you laughed some
at,
and then
well, you t- laughed at me because you're like, who are you not following? But I found that if you follow and retweet, people start noticing you more.
I was teasing you.
It's magical.
But we were like,
but it picked up like over the weekend. It was like double, triple, quadruple.
We gained like 180 in a day and a half or something like that.
We've got 1 million followers.
A lot.
So it's just great.
That's cool.
It's fun to connect, though. It's actually really nice. Mm-hmm. Dang it, Todd, I got a couple stalkers on there.
It's your ear.
Uh-oh.
It's in your ear. No, it's your finger.
It's my finger.
It's your finger in your eye.
Finger's in your ear.
Right. I do have a couple stalkers on there. Probably should take care of that quickly, right? Call the police. No.
They're fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All you.
We have fun here. We're having fun right now. We're enjoying our evening, and we enjoy sharing interesting topics and scary and spooky and creepy, but we mainly want to make sure that we bring it back to the focus on a community of mental health. So we want to always give out the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline. That's 1-800-662-4357. And we'd also like to give out the Suicide Veterans Bullying Hotline. Bullying, I said that. 1-800-273-8255 or text hashtag 838255. Also, the bullying website is stopbullying.gov. Are you okay over there?
I am.
Okay.
The month of May is mental health awareness.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Is that it?
Unless you want me to, I could ad lib a couple things.
I wrote in my notes, is that it? No, I'm kidding.
Are you sure?
Thank you. Yes, but it is mental health awareness month, all month. So we want to remind you guys that on July 16th from 6 to 10 p.m. here in Indianapolis is the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show.
Whoop, whoop.
We will be there, of course, and the Tragedy of Cinema, along with the main show, Hillbilly Horror Stories. So get your tickets at Eventbrite or on the Hillbilly Horror Stories website, and they are just $20. Would be a...
It'll be a fun night.
A great way to spend $20.
Right,
be with us.
$20 is doable.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Go get you some.
Ooh, you stole my line, and I like it. I like it like that.
So we want to, so we want to see as many people out there as possible.
Cool.
I still want to sign an autograph.
Come see us.
I've told you.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Stand behind Nate, because that's where everybody's going to want an autograph.
It's going to be fun.
Like sneak in there, like, no, could you sign it, Nate? I don't need Todd. I don't need Sean. Yeah, I need Nate.
James and Kyle are from the Tragedy of Cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry and Tracy, and then you've got us three knuckleheads.
I hope they understand, though, that the line's going to be behind Nate.
I know.
I hope they understand.
No autographs. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, that's what his line's going to be. He'll wear the shirt.
I don't know how to sign it.
His shirt's going to say, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Just take your shoe off and just put the pen in your toe and just sign an X.
Yours is going to say, finish the story.
Finish the story, you idiot. Yeah, yeah. Sean, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Oh, what are we going to talk about for episode 62?
Well, the first thing I want to do is credit you because this is your topic. And we are going
to talk
about a fantastic movie.
Ooh, one of my favorites. One of the creepiest. One of my favorites, man.
It's a favorite of a lot of people, including you and me and Nate. It is The Shining. Not The Shining.
Not The Shining.
Not The Shining. Nope. But The Shining.
That's when you hit your shin on something.
And Nate has done that, right?
Yeah, I just did that.
But The Shining.
The Shining. So, yeah. I thought that'd be a good movie to talk about. We haven't done a movie in a while.
No.
So I was trying to go through my little list of favorite movies, and I'm like, you know what?
It's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so The Shining is a 1980 psychological horror film produced and directed by Stanley Kubrick. He is a very well-known director of the horror. I don't know. Did he do any other? Like, was he mainly a horror film?
He did 2001 Space Odyssey. He did Eyes Wide Shut.
So kind of those, yeah. Those
he kind of mixed, it wasn't all horror.
It's just a little, but a lot of psychological.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was co-written with novelist Diane Johnson. Mm-hmm. The film is based on, now this guy's name I've heard, but I don't know, Stephen King, his 1977 novel of the same name.
Just kidding, Mr. King.
Yeah. It stars Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, mm-hmm. Scatman Crothers, I love Scatman, and Danny Lloyd. So, I'm going to read this quick paragraph here.
Okay.
The film's central character is Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson. He is an aspiring writer and recovering alcoholic who accepts a position as the off-season caretaker of the isolated historic Overlook Hotel in the Colorado Rockies with his wife, Wendy Torrance, played by Shelley Duvall, and his young son, played by Danny Torrance, played by Danny Lloyd. His son, Danny, is gifted with psychic abilities named Shining. After a winter storm, it leaves the Torrances snowbound. Jack's sanity deteriorates due to the influence of the supernatural forces that inhabit the hotel. So there you go. Yeah. And boy, does it ever.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn, too, I think. You know, because mm-hmm. You don't. I think the interesting thing is Stephen King, mm-hmm. like I said, not very well known, right?
But, yeah. I mean, he's written a couple books, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Made a couple movies out of them.
Right, yeah.
Can't put my finger on it.
Ooh, I like what you did there.
I was trying to think how to drop that one. That's perfect.
I don't get it.
You don't?
I don't get what you're saying.
Try a little harder, right? But he wrote it in, what, 77, right? And then this mm-hmm. became a movie in 80. That's 3 years. So it was mm-hmm. like, we got to do that, you know? So I think that tells a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Volumes about how good of a story it is.
And Mr. King was not really thrilled about how the movie turned out at all.
That was thanks to Stanley Kubrick,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. One of the main things that he didn't like the character of Jack Torrance. He thought in the book he was a little bit more, not as maniacal, or he had a little bit more caring, or a little bit, yeah. But then in the movie he just was a total maniac.
Did he not? And this is just a question because I honestly don't know. But did he not like Jack Nicholson playing it, or he just didn't like the way the character was developed?
Didn't like the character.
Okay,
had nothing to do with the actors.
Because I love Jack. I mean, Jack Nicholson.
It wasn't Hal. Jack Nicholson. It was
10,
Hal,
if not 5 favorite actors.
Yeah. No, it's Hal Kubrick had his character be.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he had him way over the top, intense and maniacal, where he wasn't quite that in the book, but there's some other things that King wasn't crazy about that Kubrick took liberties on when he made the movie. But
well,
did okay at the box office for you know, fans and all that. But Stephen wasn't crazy. I guess he did an interview in 1983, and they asked him about it, and so that's what just 3 years after the movie was made, and he was like, "Nah, it's not my favorite."
They said that critics were initially lukewarm towards it, which is kind of surprising. You know, I think fans loved it, but they said the critics were kind of, it took a while, but it has obviously become a huge staple.
Critics don't typically like horror or comedy genres.
That is correct.
And that's silly. Yeah. But it takes time. But over time, you know, you start developing it. I mean, it's a staple now in the horror, mm-hmm. horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
I can say both of those words pretty well.
Yeah, the movie, so it came out in 80, saw it in 9. I didn't see it right when it came out. I saw it, you know, did like the old HBO thing. So I think I was probably 10 or maybe 11 or 12, you know. So I was kind of still at that 5th, 6th grade year. Scared the crud out of me. Like, it just, again, is one I don't know how many movies I've mentioned, but it's one of those I'm like, I should not have seen it until maybe late or, you know, middle school, high schoolish.
You know, it's funny that
It terrified me.
I hadn't really thought about when I saw it. I must have been a teenager sometime in the 90s. I mean, I would have been a teenager, so.
Oh, man.
I'm not really sure how old I was when I first saw it.
Yeah, I was probably
10. I was not a little kid, though.
Mm-hmm. I was. And just, well, I mean, you know, the famous scenes and just that just
oh, my gosh. Scared me. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, now as an adult, I watch it, and it's like it's terrifying, just in a different way because it's. I was scared of the bathroom scene, you know, where I think it was room 237. Actually, and we'll get into it, but it's
217 in the book.
Correct, and that was actually in the room at the Stanley Hotel, which this movie, or I'm sorry, which the book came about. Stephen King and his wife were the only ones at the Stanley Hotel, and he had a dream that. Their three-year-old son was getting chased by like a water hose all through the hotel and just terrified. And then he woke up and realized it was a dream.
Yeah.
And he was like, and that's the birth of The Shining.
I got an idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And there, I guess there were some other things that happened. And then they're like, we're the only ones,
dreams can
only
bring
ones
about.
Here.
That's not the first thing that like artists can dream, you know, pictures to paint, songs to sing, books to write.
And I don't want to get too much in the Stanley Hotel because that we could have a episode on that. But that is the reason that's the real hotel. That's
foreshadowing, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's actually the room that's really haunted and creepy at that Stanley is 217. Where they made it 237 in the movie. It's supposed to be this, but there's a lot of supernatural history in that hotel. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of slow at the beginning, but I like those movies because I don't know, it just kind of sets up that, you know, he kind of throws you off. You're kind of getting this uneasy feeling already, kind of like,
because
you don't know the characters yet.
Yeah, you get to know them, and then, well, you don't think about, like, I mean, first you think, oh, this is perfect, you know, because he goes to talk to him and, like, listen, you know, it's going to be very isolated, you know, you'll have your family with you, but that's it. Like you are going to get snowed in and people can't get to you quickly. So,
right.
And, you know, he's trying to warn him and it's like, no big deal. So, but he's an alcoholic, Jack Torrance, you know, and he's an aspiring writer. So he thinks this is going to be the perfect way to
write. Cause he's got writer's block and he needs a something like that to maybe he can concentrate, have distractions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And their little boy, Danny.
Danny, yeah.
Has something going on.
He's the one that has the psychic abilities, right? That's
The
Shining, right?
Yeah. And he talks with his index finger, calls him Tony.
Yeah.
Is it Tony? Yeah.
Tony, yeah.
And find out later that is it Tony?
Tony Baloney.
Tony Baloney. Oh, I thought you were, I was like.
I was going to say the tiger, but.
Yeah. Well, this is like an imaginary friend, I guess, and he. Talks like, you know, he talks in the weird voice, and it's actually channeling. Somebody's using him to.
He's a conduit, right?
Conduit. Good job. Good. Yeah.
You like that?
We found it. Yeah. And I guess that's supposed to be his future self because of Shining. And let's go back to tell people what the Shining means. If you have the Shining, it's psychic abilities. It gives you the chance to see the past and the future, right? And you can talk to. Spirits or basically
it gets deep is what I mean the whole
and
well that's why and Stephen King tried to like just writing the story he tried to set up that I mean it's so much there's a lot of layers because it seems very simple on the surface but as you start it starts bringing you down into the story you're like holy crap where is this going and then I think that's where Stanley Kubrick started thinking oh my gosh this has he started seeing those layers and I think he had different visions to kind of, you know, mold those layers. So I think it's interesting that two genius artists, but one being an author and a book, you know, wanting to write the book and have it, you know, a certain way. It is funny, interesting that they kind of disagreed, we'll say that, over that. And there, we'll talk about a little bit too, that why Stanley Kubrick supposedly did this. He used a lot of his movies as foreshadowing for potentially other things. So
yeah. But yeah, so yeah, the little boy has this ability, and he even predicted that the phone was going to ring after the interview.
Yeah,
So anyway, he accepts the position, and you know, it's kind of like, like I say, he's an alcoholic. He wants to be a writer. He's kind of like I think he's kind of like where I've done before in a couple jobs. I'm like, I think I can do it. Like you just like fake it till you make it.
Right.
Well, it's kind of like, oh, what can happen?
Right.
We're snowed in. We got food, you know, and they take him on a tour and, you know, they got food and they got a full kitchen and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, yeah. And then, you know, Shelley Duvall's character, she's kind of, you know, kind of meek and just kind of, I don't know, kind of just going with it. You know, I don't know if she's really crazy about it.
She's trying to support her husband. Trying to be a supportive wife. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Danny's only, what, he's like 5 years old. So he's, I mean.
He's a little guy, right?
Right. And then all hell breaks loose, kind of. Once they are, that's them, just the three of them, you know. Now, Scatman Crothers.
Yeah.
What a great actor. I'm trying to pull it. Do you have his character's name up again? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't.
He talks to talks with Danny
yeah.
Before he leaves, and he's like, don't go. Because he realizes he's got the power.
The Shining, yeah.
And Scatman Crothers, his character, has the Shining. Uh-huh. So, and I guess they talk about where others, there's a lot of them around that have that uh-huh. those psychic abilities that have the power, you know. And he told him not to go in that room. Don't go into 237.
237, right.
His character name is Dick Holleran.
Holleran, yes. And so he, you know, before he goes, and then, yeah, so once he leaves and... The guy that hired Jack, it's there. You go. It's just the three of them till I think May.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you think
and they're just in the Colorado Rockies, and
right.
There's nothing around.
Yeah, the Overlook Hotel, right?
Overlook Hotel. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that it is in this process, the hotel itself is a character, and that's what's interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's so much, not just the hotel, but it's a you know there's a time. Warping almost, or you know, traveling through time kind of idea, right. Or reincarnation, or whatever. But I think that that becomes the most interesting and the most fascinating is that that's like, oh my gosh. So, there was one of I watched videos and I tried to watch some of the major scenes again and major scenes from the movie. And one of the thing is it's like, you know, that being the hotel being a main character is. It's almost like it wants murder. It wants blood. It wants mayhem. It wants to recreate things that happened in the past, you know?
Yeah.
And like Jack Torrance ends up being the next victim or the next, you know, way, the conduit to be able to cause mayhem, well, destruction.
As one video said, it's kind of like the hotel itself what had the shine, had the same power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it draw and it reaches out to somebody, brings them to it. To do what it wants,
and that's
to
what
yeah.
so many mm-hmm. looks great level. I mean, what a cognitively, it's such a powerful movie.
Yeah, and way. I think, you know, like you said, he's an alcoholic. He's had problems. I honestly, I've seen this movie 6 or 7 times. I see it maybe every 2 or 3, you know, 4 or 5 years. But so trigger warning, parents, talking about what the dad Jack might have done to his son.
Yeah.
Some sexual abuse
but when he was because he was an alcoholic,
right?
And, yeah,
you know, and some physical abuse, broke his arm.
Yeah.
When he was trying, you know,
and
didn't
he was inebriated, right?
Yeah, and it's like this hotel grabs your
darkest,
yeah, and aspects. Goes after it mm-hmm. and brings you into it, and then it's like then it's got you, it's got a mm-hmm. hold on of you, you know, and then just compounds things,
right?
Which it did with Jack, obviously. Yeah.
More or less loses his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
and look at all the other
goes
past
into
people,
insanity,
you
right?
know, like mm-hmm. Mr. Grady, the
Charles Grady, yeah.
Is
it Charles?
I think it's no, I think that was
is that the guy that they warned him that had killed his family?
Yeah, great Grady.
And himself.
Yeah,
Delbert.
Okay.
Yeah, he had killed his wife.
Okay,
two twin daughters. Pretty much hacked him to death. I think hacked the daughters with an axe, shot his wife, and then shot himself. Either that or
he was the winter caretaker, right?
Yeah, yeah. And and he even tells him that in the interview. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like kind of tells him, you know, again, I'm good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, right, right. So it's got all this history of just murder and just. All kinds of crazy stuff that's happened to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think it's a place that I would not want to be called to, and I don't think I'd work there. But it's very dark. So mm-hmm. like I said, it's kind of got a mind of, like you're saying, Sean, it's a mind of its own. The hotel kind of lives and breathes, and then it goes after people.
I just look at this picture of Jack Nicholson. Yeah. You know, you can just tell, like, this is where he starts to go, like, into devolving into madness.
Yeah. And we're not going to. We're not going through the movie scene, but we're just talking about scenes. Yeah, that's when it's snowing outside, and Danny and his mom are playing outside, and he just starts staring out the window,
uh-huh.
and he's got these eyes. There's just like there's nothing there. Like there's something there, but it's not good. Losing it.
We mentioned this movie, and I was trying to think what episode it was, and it was The Smiling Man, because we talked about how uncomfortable smile. Torrance has that. And they say as the weather gets worse, it's almost like that's when you start stepping down into the mm-hmm. darkness more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So that foretelling of the weather's getting worse. He's getting more and more isolated. He's going more further and further into insanity. The lodge is taking over the hotel or whatever. And mm-hmm. it is pulling him down into that darkness.
What? I know, Nate, you said you haven't seen it in a while, but you can remember what. So the scene, like I said, the whole movie terrified me as a kid. Mm-hmm. Now as an adult, it's still terrifying, but you know, I can handle the scenes better, but it's just, now it's just scary, but it's not, you know, the one that got me was when he starts losing it and he starts getting, he goes to the room 237, mm-hmm. I believe, and the woman in the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
she's this young, beautiful woman, and she's, you know, in the bathtub, and he just gets seduced you know, they start hugging and kissing, and all of a sudden, he pulls away and she's this rotted corpse, you know, this old lady looking rotted corpse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then she kind of chases after him. That was the scene that
is disturbing.
Sent me over the
end. Yeah.
And it's still mm-hmm. gross and scary as an adult. But what some of the scenes that you remember, or what's a scene? I'll ask you too, Sean, like what one that got you?
Whenever I think of The Shining, obviously there's the classic scene that everybody knows.
Yeah.
But the one that I always go to is when they're in the hedge maze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. That's the.
It's almost like the hedges are alive.
Oh, the hedges. Yeah.
With the sound of music.
And I guess in the book, I have not read the actual novel. I've never read that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I guess that scene, going back to Stanley Kubrick, how he changed it, and it was another thing that Stephen King got annoyed with, was I guess in the book that those came alive.
Oh yeah,
the animals, the hedge, mm-hmm. that were carved in. You know,
yeah,
they supposedly came alive and were going after him, and Kubrick didn't like that. He thought it'd be too hard to make it into a movie
mm-hmm.
for the effects and things. Right. So he thought, why don't we just put Danny running through a maze, Jack chasing after him, he's mm-hmm. like, it's still gonna be scary,
yeah,
and we don't have to try to do the effects of the, you know, making the bushes or the hedges come alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that happened, was right. The maze scene. Yeah,
yeah.
But that's, well, you know, and then the middle of the movie, he kind of, the little boy kind of goes through the maze mm-hmm. and gets kind of used to it, finds his way through,
figures it out.
So then obviously later on in the movie,
helps him later. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I remember this. Yeah,
and retraces his steps, and oh man,
I think. Besides the whole, like, that part is definitely memorable. Obviously, the part that we're talking about at the end is very memorable. But I remember where Danny sees the girl, the twin girls,
mm-hmm.
and then how they were killed, and the red rum. That is, a lot of the way that this movie was shot, and they say, I mean, this is thanks to Stanley Kubrick. I mean, he was considered a genius, but he always had symbology and a method to his madness.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is just bizarre. I mean, quite honestly, the way that some of the scenes are just like, what did I just see? You have to see this movie several times to understand even what he's trying to say. And then there's still people that try to figure out some of the symbology. And then that's why there has been conspiracy theories come out of this. Like, oh, Stanley Kubrick is trying to mm-hmm. foreshadow the fact that we faked the moon landing. You know, so that's a big part of the behind the scenes on this, too. So
yeah.
But it's like when you first watched this in the 80s, there's no way you would have been thinking anything like that.
Right.
You know, so over the years, this has evolved into a whole other creature altogether. But
sure. Yeah, when he's. Because I think he's on his little tricycle or big wheel, big wheel kind of. And he's going through the hallways. Uh-huh. And there's a little girl standing there. And then, then they show, he kind of sees the vision of them all hacked up and bloody. Uh-huh. And then it goes back to them standing.
Back to them standing.
You know, kind of mm-hmm. back and forth. And then I think he starts talking to his imaginary friend, his index finger. And I guess it's what it is about the hotel is it uses all these past people and the horrible events, like that family getting killed.
Yeah.
So, and the other things, you know, the woman in the bathtub supposedly had her husband had, cheated on her, I believe.
Right.
And so she was distraught, killed herself.
Yep.
So it uses all this to mess with you and to draw you in and to literally drive you mad. And then all these spirits, they're not there, but they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not physically, but it's using these past tragedies and the people that were involved, and it's getting to Jack Torrance, and it's like forcing him to do what happened to them. You know,
it's
obviously it knows he's got the family, and it's like
it's almost like
you need to kill your I mean, it starts going towards that.
It's almost like a living chess set. It's like a
That's exactly
and
right.
And then he becomes the next pawn. You know what I mean? And like
it just keeps
and
going.
It keeps cycling. Mm-hmm. It's so weird, but yeah, it's so cool.
In the blood scene, I remember as a kid, the hotel, or the hotel, of course, hotel, but the elevators,
oh,
the
yeah.
blood. They said that it took.
Was it Kool-Aid?
No, it was real blood. No, no, but it took like 9 days to clean it up. Like they did so many takes.
Yeah.
And so they would have this whatever they used, and then it would rush in, do the scene, and then they clean up, because Kubrick was very meticulous. Every scene had to be perfect, and if there's a split second of something that he didn't like, the whole thing was, you know, let's do it again.
He was that way.
It took him 9 days though to clean the hallway.
That crazy.
And then let's do it again, and he did. Yeah.
Wow.
60 some doors, 70 doors were used for the hatchets or the axe scene.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's that is the stat.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stuff like that.
Well, they said,
go ahead. I've got stats pulled up.
17-week shoot turned into a year. And so that was, it was only supposed to be 17 weeks. But
correct.
This is what happened with Kubrick. And he would drive people nuts with his perfectionism. Like I said, he's a genius. But they said that Kubrick and Stephen King had theological discussions. So how they wanted the movie to look. I thought this was interesting. You might have this one over there too. But Jack Nicholson ate cheese sandwiches to get angry.
He hated him,
so he would get mad, and that would help it to set him off. And the 60 doors were destroyed for the accident.
Was it 60? Yeah, okay.
It was 60.
Imagine.
He also improvised doors. The "Here's Johnny" line when he does.
And I'd heard that a long time ago, but I didn't know a lot of the others, like the doors and the blood scene.
Did you?
Know.
I think you sent it to us, or somebody sent it to me about all the. How he got himself amped up, besides the cheese sandwiches, to get like in that mood. Because Jack Nicholson is a genius, but he knows how to get into psychological characters and also to get himself out. Because I think we mentioned this before with the Batman Joker. He got into the Joker, which is, a psychopathic killer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he told Heath Ledger, hey, don't let that character get a hold of you, because it can. These dark characters are very dangerous.
Yeah.
But he had great, a great warm-up. In 1980, obviously.
So there's a video.
89.
You can probably pull it up. It's a little video, a few minutes where he's amping himself up. He's like, it looks like he's hyperventilating or he's having a panic attack.
But he's trying to look like he's having a psychotic breakdown. And,
right.
Which is what he's supposed to be doing.
Supposedly, Shelley Duvall she knew what he was doing, but it still was kind of scary to see him doing that. And so she would go on the other, because it was she's obviously supposed to be on the other side of the door where he busted, with the axe, but it kind of got to her, and Kubrick was really hard on her and was really pushing her
mentally abused her
to break her.
She physically was sick and losing her hair. She was so emotionally distraught.
Yeah. Yep.
Poor thing. You can tell that in her character.
Then you got Jack Nicholson doing what he's doing.
Right,
To get
here's another cheese
character sandwich. Yeah, right, and so it terrified her. It really terrified her. Yeah. I like to read those things, like how they got into the character or what they did to make this scene work, these iconic scenes in whatever movie. It's, you think they just show up and do it, but no, there's a lot that goes.
It's a lot. And if Kubrick is the director or was the director, you better come bring in your A game.
Yeah.
They say he made his secretary type out all of those all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
All those that came out. He made his secretary type all those out.
Right. I believe, too. Speaking of that, she had to type it. Yeah. So let's see here. It said, The individual pages in the film contain different layouts and mistakes. So say, rumors about the Stanley Kubrick actually typed up all those all work pages. She had to do it in different languages too for foreign.
Yeah. Oh, for foreign release.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it took her months. It took her months. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
And she lost her mind after that.
She was emotionally abused.
And she broke down a door with a hatchet and an axe. And she.
They said Kubrick got lost in.
I hope she got paid well.
In the hedge, the hedge maze that Kubrick tried to go through, he actually got lost.
Well, they bet him. They they
you can't do this.
Yeah, and then I guess
they had to use gas masks. Did you hear that one?
No,
they said that the film, with all the different like haziness and everything, they suffered through the difficult shooting conditions, and they had to use like gas masks like to protect themselves.
I didn't hear that, and I just know that a lot of the crew. Would they thought they kind of same thing? They wagered and they would bet that they could get through it, and so it actually they had to use walkie talkies to get out of it because they got lost. They kept getting lost, and so to help each other get out,
well, it was supposed to be snow, but it was actually
styrofoam.
Styrofoam. That's why. But all that dust and stuff. They said they had
styrofoam and something else. Mm-hmm. Salt.
Yes,
like hundreds and hundreds of pounds of salt. I guess is what made that scene look like snow.
Yeah. And the set burned down too.
I think something's there, but that.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know how you hear these?
I don't know that it was. Maybe like they weren't supposed to make it. Yeah,
yeah. It's like
Stephen King actually was behind all of that.
Right. He's over.
I told you, Stanley. I'm gonna get you.
Right. That's not how I wrote it in the book. Yeah.
Hmm.
Actually, it says Jack Nicholson wrote a scene for The Shining. Said, in addition to improvising one of the most obviously we just talked about most famous lines when he says, "Here's Johnny." Said he actually wrote an entire scene. He felt a particularly deep understanding of Jack Torrance's berating of his wife while he was trying to write. That's what I was like when I got my divorce, Nicholson explained in an interview with the New York Times. I was under the pressure of being a family man with a daughter, and one day I accepted a job to act in a movie in the daytime, and I was writing a movie at night, and I'm back in my little corner. My beloved wife, Sandra, walked in on what was unbeknownst to her, this maniac, and I told Stanley about it, and he wrote it into the scene.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That is
a personal touch.
Going back to the typewriter scene, that is also terrifying when you see when her Shelley Duvall, her face when she sees
the only
thing he has typed this whole time is,
she's thinking he must be done with this thing, right?
She's like, and it's page, yeah, it's pages,
page after
and
page.
Page,
after page.
And did you notice that if you look at it, it's, you know, just like a normal page straight across, and then all of a sudden he types it and it's like triangles and different shapes that he types those words. Everything, it's just those same words, but he does it in different shapes.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, she's like, I think he's lost his mind.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, cuckoo. That's a terrifying, and I think I watched it today. One of my favorite scenes is when Jack Torrance she's got the baseball bat. And she's walking backwards.
Right. Yes.
And he's like, you know, light of my life. she's just like, okay, where am I going to go? And she just starts walking up the stairs by herself, backwards. And he... You know, he starts grabbing at her, and his face and his how he can do his eyebrows and his, oh my gosh, it's so scary. And then she just whacks him on the head.
When she barely gets out of I think what gets you on the edge too is when she's getting out,
Wendy.
Obviously the axe scene, but then through the window, and there's barely just enough room for her to
escape. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, she's not going to make it. She's not going to make it. That is terrifying.
Yeah. Wendy, the light of my life.
I know.
That's so creepy.
And because everybody's got their breaking point,
and
see Jack Nicholson, and he does it so well, but his descent into madness is classic.
Yeah. And do you think, like we've talked about, it's kind of like with that hotel, it's kind of like their destiny. It's kind of like they didn't have a choice where it just kind of locked in on them with this whole shining, the sun has the power, and it uses your darkest past and the things that you're struggling with, and it just eats you alive.
The shadow
There's zero like that. It's kind of like that's what he had to do was get there, or he had to go there, take the job, get there, and then
because he dismantles the snow cat and everything too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he because she escapes, she goes out to the bar because he's that's what after she whacked him over on the head with the baseball bat, drags his body, puts it in the freezer. He, you know, he's out. She locks the door. He comes to, you know, he's like, they're groggy. And then he's yelling for her. And then he yells something like, he starts, I don't know if he laughs or whatever, but he's like, you're not going to like what you find or something. Cause she goes out to the shed. He cut the, ruined the plow or snow. Yeah. And then he also cut the line to the only thing they had was that, not walkie-talkie, but like a...
Oh, two-way radio.
Right. Like a, and so there, now there's no communication device whatsoever to get, you know, hold of anybody to help, and there's no way to get out of it. Yeah. And then he starts talking to the spirit on the other side of the freezer. And I think it's Delbert Grady who killed, you know, the dad that killed his wife and kids. And you just see the latch flip up, and so then that's when he... Yeah, goes after him. Yeah, so it's like, ooh, great. Because he thinks she's got him. Like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? Or she's good that she's got him locked up in the freezer.
At least safe.
And just this spirit unlatches it, and then he's back in, going with the limp.
I
headache and a bad limp.
I think it's when that last, and I know you guys probably want to talk about this too, but the last scene where it just slowly goes into the old picture from the 1920s. Where Jack Nicholson's
the
party, and then that's where I
feel like
1921, and that's where it's like that is when the hotel has basically taken. You know, he is perpetually in that.
So I guess that's not supposed to be him. That's actually supposed to be a family member from his past, and so like Delbert Grady, you were saying the other guy. It's like that's it's a family history. It's not him. Now he's stuck in that. Picture or stuck in that,
but some people thought that was like a reincarnation of him.
Correct, that's not true. Yeah.
Right,
it's not what.
Or time travel of some kind. Yeah,
he had a relative at one point, and it's like so it.
That's interesting too.
Yeah, right.
But I think when people first saw that, they're like, "Now wait a minute, what's going on here?" Yeah, so because of course Stanley's not going to Kubrick is not going to sit there and explain anything to you.
Right, and I just learned that
he took a lot to his grave. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Grady, his brother or whoever, uncle, whatever. From years past, he had whatever the incident with the hotel. So then Delbert becomes a caretaker and then wipes out his family. And it's just what it does.
It's a perpetual cycle, right?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Like I said, we're not going to touch too much on the conspiracy theory part of it, but I think it's interesting because there is, I don't know if how deep you guys know about this because, you know, the whole moon landing thing, but supposedly Stanley Kubrick helped fake the moon landing, which I don't believe that. I believe we made it to the moon and all that kind of stuff. But that's one of those big ones out there. Did we actually make it to the moon? Did we not? And if we did, what did we find there? And then why haven't we been back? Blah, blah, blah. But they're saying that he had such guilt because he's the one that recorded the moon landing and helped fake it. And that he took that all the way to his grave. There's supposed to be a video that's supposed to be him saying this deathbed confessional before he passed away. And that all of his movies, he left little... you know, like tidbits of how he did it and why he did it and kind of his, it was to his fans to say, I'm sorry, or his way of dealing with the guilt. But yeah, so but in this movie, The Shining, that's a big one, is room 237 is supposed to be, the moon is 237,000 miles from the Earth. So that is his, that's why he used that number, supposedly.
Good.
And again, to get convinced Stephen King, well, this is why I want to do it. No, that's not how I wrote it. But that's why he did that. But they say he did that with, like he did Dr. Strangelove is a movie. I love that movie, by the way. That's a great one. The Color Orange. Clockwork Orange, excuse me, and those kind of movies. So he's very eclectic with his movie choices. But and then Eyes Wide Shut was his last one, and they say that Eyes Wide Shut is full of symbology and all kind of conspiracies and stuff. But I'm not, you know, about secret societies and everything.
Have you guys seen that movie? I've never seen it.
I have. Yeah
I've seen
it's
it.
Pretty risque. Yeah,
yeah.
Probably not something we're going to cover.
Is that the one with Cruise?
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Yes. Yep. Okay. When they were married. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I just remember him.
It's psychological too in nature, and it's a deep dive type of movie.
It's definitely a
not
brain,
one we'll ever cover. I'm sure
brain twister.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because I know that came.
It
out
takes
like
you on a wild ride.
Mid to late '90s, maybe or early 2000s.
I think
it's been out for a while.
'90 I mean, something. Yeah.
It was late '90s, I think, and then he, I want to say he passed away just before it was or early 2000s, maybe. But he passed away before it was released. It was finished, but he passed away before it got released. So. And some people think that he was murdered and all this stuff. So who knows? Danny, out of the conspiracy shadow.
That's right. Very careful. Danny Lloyd, the actor that played Little Danny, he did not know the whole time he was making the movie that it was a horror movie until years later when he watched it into his teens.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. So it said the 5-year-old boy Danny Lloyd, who played the film's child star Danny Torrance, did not know at the time that he was filming a horror movie. For his protection, he was told that they were making a drama. Lloyd did not learn the truth until later, and he did not see the film in its entirety until he was well into his teens. So that's interesting.
That is interesting. And how you keep
at least
from
they,
right.
they protected him so they didn't traumatize him at a young age.
And that was his only movie ever made. So
he did a good job.
Yes, he did.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, that was the only... I love this movie. It's in my top 10 of all time. And the music, the score, that...
Oh, my gosh. It pulls you... It's part of the movie. It's a character.
Mm-hmm. The aerial shot of them just driving through the Rockies on their way to the hotel. Yeah. They got that music, and you're just like...
It sets it up.
I think it's
foreshadowing.
We're in for something here.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Scatman Crothers. I loved his character, and, you know... He was on he flew back from Florida to Colorado because he knew Danny had the powers, and he knew something. He knew about the hotel's history, what it can do. He flew back to because he knew something was either going to happen, or he just obviously
had that had that awareness, right?
Correct. Yeah. And man, when he shows up with the I don't know what to call it, snowplow or whatever,
snowcat.
Snowcat. Thank you. You know, and he gets out and he's yelling for him. That's when Jack had already gotten out of the freezer, and he's got that axe, and oh my gosh, and he's walking all of a sudden from nowhere, wham, right in the chest.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no, not him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like, oh man. But and then of course, then he goes after Wendy upstairs, and here's Johnny.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It's so terrifying. It's so terrifying. They did great acting. Great. I mean, they sell their situation. They sell, you know.
And him,
the terror.
Him, you know? Frozen is also iconic.
Oh man,
too,
right? Yeah. And you know when? Have you ever, like, when you're watching the movie, like, you know he's, you don't want her to be killed you don't want him, Danny.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously, not that I feel bad for him, but I'm just putting myself, like, if you were in this maze and it's freezing cold, and he only just has like a little light jacket, and he's limping, and he's like, and he's doing that labored breathing.
Yeah.
I start like. Man,
you feel
like,
it for him, yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather have him die or something, but I still like, man, that'd be terrible to be in that situation, because you can't, you know, and when he realizes that the footsteps, you know, the footprints are, wait a minute, they're going back, you know, and he's totally confused now, and he doesn't know which way to go, and he's yelling for Danny, and oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want Danny to escape, but I'm like, man, that'd suck. I start hyperventilating because I'm like, my chest, I'm like, ooh, a little cold.
So we would definitely tell the creepies, if you haven't seen this movie, my word, go out and watch it. I mean, for sure. It's a for sure watch it. I mean, you're going to be creeped out. There's a lot to it, like you said. I mean, some of those, and if you've never seen it before, but those scenes, even if you've seen them before, I feel like they still get you.
What about when Wendy, when she starts realizing what's going on, she starts looking in the room. She looks like in the main dining room or the skeletons, where they're still dressed with their nice dinner wear dancing, you know, and then she sees the Grady, Mr. Grady, Delbert Grady, and he's got the cuts on his head, you know, and blood. He's like, you know, like smashing party or you know, something like that. Yeah. Or what a great party we're having, you know, and she's just like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? So they start showing themselves to her,
right?
You know, she's seeing what Danny and Jack has been, well, like the bartender, you know, when Jack is shows up, there's nobody there, but yet he's talking to a bartender, and you know, he's got a drink, but you're like, oh,
that's
my
gosh, that's
he literally believes
too, right?
He's talking to
yep.
but it's the again, it's the hotel,
the hotel getting a hold of you, and
right? And he knows his it knows
his
weakness is
alcohol. Yep.
And it just
plays on that.
It's
great.
I know.
It is.
I want to go watch it.
Like I said, it's, you know, Stephen King set it up with writing a wonderful book, obviously.
Yeah.
And then Kubrick using his vision and his genius.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like I said, Stephen King disagrees, I'm sure, but I think they did. Both of them together made this masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, through their imaginations, right?
right,
horrifying as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a movie to watch.
And, oh my gosh, yeah, hands down.
In 1980, that's I was nine. I was like, I know you guys were probably born. No, you're probably born, right? Maybe
I was barely. I was one.
October.
I was 6 months, probably. Yeah.
I wanted to look at me, Mr. Statman here.
Statman.
You got Scatman Crothers, and I'm Statman Hedges.
There you go.
I wanted to look up. I wanted to do this earlier, and I just was so excited about getting into discussing it. I just kind of forgot. So 1980 when it was made. The budget was $19 million.
Mm-hmm.
The box office was $47 million. I don't know if that. I mean, I guess that's back in all 1980. I mean, obviously the budget 1980 was $19 million, but I would imagine it's made more than that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, over and years. Over and over.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but just even if that was just the same year, I mean,
it's probably to
it more than doubled. It's
a bajillion by now.
Yeah, but it more than doubled. It's for the box office as far as compared to the budget. Just in that, yeah. So it was well received, I guess.
Oh yeah.
I was not alive when it was released.
Yet.
It's released May 23rd in 1980.
Nate was still to be.
I was cooking.
Well, that's God knew who you were, right?
Yeah,
but we didn't. There's my calendar.
My calendar. I thought that was the doorbell. I was like, how do we hear the doorbell from here?
So yeah. So what do you think? Going to the Stanley, the Overlook. Put that on the list, Sean.
I will, and then we're going to do a winner. We'll be the caretakers over the winter. Is that what, is that good? All of us will. We all have a book to write. So
bring your snowshoes,
typewriter. Right.
I want to bring some extra walkie-talkies.
Oh my gosh!
In case Nate cuts the.
Well, how about being the winter caretaker for like the Waverly or Whispers Estate or?
I would do the Waverly.
Would you do the Waverly?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because I didn't feel scared at that place.
No, well, not me either.
I felt more sad and more.
Don't you think though, if you spent that much time, it would eventually start warping?
Kind of like the people that the owners.
That's what they said.
Where they're like,
that's what
we kind of get a little more rest and a little more peace when we're not there.
You might turn into Jack Torrance, right?
Ooh. Amy, the light of my life.
Where are you?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. But great movie.
I would go with you guys. I would not do that by myself. No.
No?
No, I think that would freak me out too much.
Gotcha.
They'll be sleeping done, though? Maybe. Might have some dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Carrey stayed at the Stanley Hotel.
Uh-oh. What happened then?
And I think he stayed in the room, the 217.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
What was his experience? I hadn't heard that.
He won't tell. He said it was so scary and so crazy. It terrified him so much, he doesn't want to.
And when when did this happen? Like while he was famous or recently or okay,
yeah,
so
I
while
so.
He was famous.
No, I mean it could have been 20 years. I'm not
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Recently.
No, I just wondered. Yeah,
because he's been around for
because he's definitely hit like with his stardom. He's definitely turned a corner and become a different person and sees things a lot differently.
He has.
It seems like matured to a large degree.
But he said that he was.
So I was curious.
Again, he was kind of like Stephen King. He said he was like the only one there, or just. A few people and the stuff that he experienced, but he was in that room and he left.
Wow.
And he went, yeah. And
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Truly.
But it got to him so bad. He's trying to like move
on. So we need to go there sooner than later.
Jim Carrey. Yeah. Wow. Had an experience at the Stanley, the same as Stephen King. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know about
Jim
this,
can tell us his story. We promise not to tell anybody,
same
but
hotel,
we do want to hear the story. Wow.
Yeah. The Stanley Hotel. We'll do an episode on that. Cause it goes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Wait, you know, the owner was the Stanley Steamer.
Yeah.
The car and all that. Yeah. So anyway.
Gosh, that's interesting. Jim Carrey had an interesting history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That goes back, but that all start. Yeah. I just love it because that spurred a lot. This movie, that hotel, they had changed the name, but then when you got Stephen King and then with his nightmare, I guess. So pretty cool.
Layers upon layers, right?
So there you go. I don't know. You guys have anything else to tell about The Shining?
I don't think so. No, like I said, it's definitely one that if you have not seen it, do yourself a favor and watch it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Unless you don't like horror, then stay away from it because, oh my gosh, you'll never sleep again.
Yeah, because once it kicks in,
it gets rocking and rolling pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, there you go.
All right. Well, I decided with this to do a dark side. I feel like with this, as dark as this movie gets and as psychological As it is, I decided to go with Fuel.
You guys know Fuel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuel. Yeah.
And Hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a CD.
There's a beautiful message in this, but it's also very sad and somber. And I felt like that's kind of, it's a little bit, The Shining has, I mean, it's just, it's a psychological horror thriller or whatever, but it is, but it kind of goes well with this song, I think. Memories are just where you laid them. Drag the waters till the depths give up their dead. What did you expect to find? Was there something you left behind? Don't you remember anything I said when I said, don't fall away and leave me to myself. Don't fall away and leave me bleeding in my hands again. Leave me, or leave love bleeding in my hands. Love lies bleeding. Those are very powerful words. Oh, hold me now. I feel contagious. Am I the only place that you've left to go? She cries her life is like some movie, black and white. Dead actors faking lines over and over and over again, she cries. Don't fall away. Leave me to myself. Don't fall away. Leave love bleeding in my hands, in my hands. Leave love bleeding in my hands. Love lies bleeding. And I wanted, you turned away. You don't remember, but I do. You never even tried. So don't fall away. Leave me to myself. Don't fall away. And it goes on and on with leave love bleeding in my hands again. So you can imagine, I heard this last week and I'm like, I had some other things picked out and I thought, this is a good one that goes with The Shining really, really well. You know, it ends well, but it's such a creepy ending.
Yeah.
But it is, but like I said, the messages with this are, they're dark, but it's like, I don't know. It spoke to me. It spoke to me of like, I don't know. I've been in a weird mood this last week and a lot going on. So,
yeah.
The music is supposed to be cathartic. And so like a song like this helps me to kind of get some of that darkness to fade away, you know, and help you to find a better place. There was I posted this morning and, I'd scheduled it a good month ago, probably anyway, but it was the Mad Hatter and Alice sitting there. And it says, if you can't look on
Facebook,
you can't look on the bright side, I'll sit in the dark with you. And, that's kind of what our dark side, I thought that's a good way to describe our dark side we'll sit in the dark with you until we can find you. You will get you some brightness or we'll help you back to the brightness. But, it's that whole idea of not staying in the hole and finding a way out of the hole. But, you know, sometimes you do have to just sit with people in their darkness until they're ready to find the brightness,
you know, and that's
the light side.
That's absolutely true because, I won't mention his name, but I've known him since, you know, his class was 2 years behind us. So I did not know him in high school, but then once, we graduated and then I started, we had like a group of six or seven of us. So he was part of the group that I became friends with out of high school.
Yeah.
And then now I've known, you know, he said when I was going through my divorce and then my depression and I want to kill myself and I hated my job and I was broke and, you know, my whole life collapsed, you know, he was there in the dark with me.
Uh-huh.
Most of my friends knew, but then like he really knew how deep it was. And so I remember when we were talking, he and I told him, I said, man, I'm like, I have nothing, you know, like, yeah.
You really did.
I didn't have kids from my first marriage. So it's not like I had kids to kind of reel me back, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just want to end it, you know? And so he was so scared and so concerned that he told my dad,
yeah,
like, and I appreciate that. Like, you know, I didn't get mad, but he told me, he's like, and then my dad, of course, you know, talked to me, but like, I appreciate that. He heard my pain and sat there with, you know, basically
he heard the call, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and mm-hmm. You know, friends are supposed to be there where it's not like, well, let me know when things pick up and
through
I'll
through thick and thin.
Now, yeah. You know, give me a, no, they're
through
yeah,
thick and
absolutely.
Thin,
right? Yeah. And then, I had another friend, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, he apologized to me for not like the other end. He didn't take it as not he didn't take it serious, but he felt like he wasn't there enough.
Yeah.
And he apologized, you know, and this was, we're talking 2002 to 2005. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I said, I appreciate that. I said, you know, he's like, no, he felt like he let me down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. I mean, I cool, you know, but yeah, you got to be there with you know, like I said, if you can't, you know, you got to sit in the dark if you have to.
That's
with
right.
The person, mm-hmm. You know, if you can't see the light or you can't get out of it. I mean,
it is weird though. Like we're building up. I always said that before, building up and breaking down together. And sometimes sometimes two people are breaking down together, or maybe they mm-hmm. don't realize like that. Maybe didn't mm-hmm. realize or was just not comfortable with being there with you. But yeah, it is important for those people that will sit with you through the thick and thin. It is important to have those people.
Yeah. You know, you got friends and everybody, you know, like everybody feels bad, you know, when something happens, yeah. but man, mm-hmm. there's those few that like they want to feel it too.
Yeah.
They would want to feel it.
Empathetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Thank you for that word.
No problem. Like,
what can
no.
I say? Yeah. Where, you know, they're not going through it, but yet they can feel the hurt and the sad. Yeah. So that was a good, yeah. Good,
thank
good
you.
Song.
Yeah. yeah. No, I love that song too, by the way.
And that post was great. I did see that.
Yeah.
With Allison. Yeah.
I shoot for great. I shoot for perfect too.
No, it was okay.
it's all right. I
no,
see better.
Good. No, it was great. No, it was perfect. So.
All right, then. So we're going to come out of that dark side and get into the second part of the announcements. And the first thing I want to do is make sure that you guys can connect with us. So connect with us through our email address, and that is makopodcast@gmail.com, two A's. Write us. Tell us how we're doing. Say hi. Merch orders. We always appreciate those, right? Mm-hmm.
Real quick. I hate when we interrupt each other, but
oh, no,
I want to say we've had two orders in the last week, 2 weeks, something like that. So thank you guys for
that. Is
it's
cool.
Always nice where
we're also,
you know, we might go a time without something, and then all of a sudden I'll get an email that says you made an order, or
and more people like posting their shirts or yeah. making posts. Person like Dr. Jackson or Brian Jackson put one from Las Vegas. He was at a conference. That
yes,
was
like, yes,
and he did that with Michael Myers.
Michael
in
Myers
there,
in the back.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
I know. I cracked up with that.
That was awesome. So that means the world to us.
Yeah,
truly.
And like I said, we're not selling merch to, I mean, yeah, it's nice to make a few bucks. That's all we're making is a few bucks.
A few bucks.
We have jobs. We're paying our bills with that.
We're just excited to be out there, you know.
It's I don't get an email and go, yes, there's some
cha-ching.
Extra money. No,
yeah,
it's
no.
like, oh my gosh, somebody
cares.
Wants to wear
to be
our
part
shirt
of this or, community, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Yep, or
it's cool.
Order a coffee mug, whatever. I always try to, if I know who it is, because I don't always, but I'll say, hey, if you want, you can post a picture, because that's what we want to see. We want to see the whoever bought it and what it is. Not that we don't care about the money.
And it keeps us coming back to the table, these microphones, every time, because we're like, okay.
But it's fun. I just
people
want to say that,
need this. We need this. Let's do it. You know, and of course we love it. You know.
Okay, so. I won't interrupt you more.
Oh my gosh, no problem. We keep doing these Tuesday Terrors on Tuesdays. I'm not sure why. It doesn't make a whole
is
lot of sense.
Is that true, Nate?
Thursday.
Tuesdays. Good thing for Nate.
I'm glad. I am so disoriented. I have no idea. So Tuesday Terrors, come listen to them on, I guess, Tuesdays. They're on all the major platforms the social media platforms except for Twitter. We can't do it on Twitter because it's too long of a length, but that's okay. But they're little creepy stories. And our way
maybe
of
that'll
just,
change sometime.
Our way of saying hello and hi and
hello.
Connecting. Hello. Hello out there. And we are on all major listening platforms. And so go out there and listen to us. We're at whatever you know you want to listen to. And rate and review us, of course. 5-star rating and a review if you can and will. And also tell your friends. Tell everybody you know. Word of mouth is huge out there.
Yes,
so,
yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Tell your wife, tell your kids.
And Nate, what's the number of stars that we only accept?
The only choice is five.
Five.
I'm pretty
right.
sure that's
five,
correct, yeah. actually. Yeah, that's absolutely
it's five
right.
stars, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, and then, of course, merch. Well, I mentioned the merch, but I want to say from my heart, go get you some.
He's been dying to say that.
I have. I know. He's getting stolen from me, but no, I love it that it gets stolen from me because I want the word. Well, you got to have a that's what my shirt's going to say.
Some.
Go get you some.
Go get you some.
And they'll say, excuse me, Sean, what are you talking about?
I'm going to say, finish the story.
Finish the story. Right.
Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Good job. Good job on the
thank
announcements.
Thank you very much.
Sean, Nate, what you got for us? What do you got?
Creepies, watch where you're walking. You don't want to give yourself a shinning.
A shinning?
No.
That's a wrap.
No, you don't.
That is good stuff.
Two things you don't want to do is get frozen in a maze and nail your shin on. What'd you hit it on?
Pennel hitch.
The hitch. Right?
Oh,
my
man.
Gosh.
Yeah, it won.
My bony shins, my gosh, it doesn't take much. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, thanks for that. Creepies, one want to thank you for listening to us. As always, we appreciate all the love that you show us, and our numbers are showing it big time.
Oh,
so
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
This is great.
We thank you so much. And that was, episode number 62. What do you think about
that?
We are
up there.
We're
creeping up, right?
We're creeping up to the 100 just on the foals.
I know. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to get there.
So, anyway, thanks for listening to us on our discussion with the classic horror movie, The Shining. Not The Shining, but The Shining. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your host, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.